Let's pray. Lord our God, as we come to consider your word this morning and the relevance of it for us today, help us by your Holy Spirit to have ears that hear you, hearts that are open to your work. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, have you got a current box set you're watching at the moment? Are you finding The Little Drummer Girl a bit slow, apparently? Or are you waiting for the next series of Pole Dark? That's what I'm waiting for. Yeah. What do you look forward to seeing on the big screen? Is it an adventure, an action film, a fantasy? Perhaps you're a reader of a particular genre of books, thrillers, historic fiction, sci-fi, can't understand that one at all. Stories seem to engage us. We can become involved in them. If you've ever had the privilege of reading to a child, you'll know the sense that they hang on your every word. I'd like to suggest that stories engage us because in some senses, we seem to be able to lose ourselves in them. Jesus told the story of the unmerciful servant. A story, or to give it its correct form, a parable. A parable is a story with a meaning. Jesus, whom we as disciples are learning from, used parables as a means of getting his message across. In a way that was accessible to those 2,000 years ago, but also accessible to us today. Jesus begins, "The kingdom of heaven is like." The king had been very generous, hadn't he, to the servant. You're told he owed 10,000 bags of gold. I read somewhere that this was the equivalent of £1 million. What a lot of money. I don't know what about you, but immediately I begin to ask all sorts of questions. What did the servant do with the money? How much was the king worth if he could lend £1 million to a servant? Why did the king decide he wanted to settle the account now? Settlement was called for. The man couldn't repay, and consequently he, his wife, his children, all that he had were to be sold. That's the dire consequences, isn't it, of debt? It's the reality of debt today. There will be people whom we know living in our streets who find themselves in a similar situation. The inability to pay a debt leads to slavery. But then the servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. Wow, the generosity of the king. The generosity of God. God is a God who gives and gives and gives. In Genesis, in the story of creation, we read of God giving breath as he breathed into Adam. God gives life. The world, with all its natural resources and the skills humanity needs to be creative, is a gift from God. God gives the ability to sustain life. God gives his presence. Jesus came to earth to live among us, and with the Holy Spirit now present, God continues to be at work. The death and resurrection of Jesus means we are able to be in relationship with God now and forever. Eternal life. The generosity of God. And why does God give so freely and so generously? It's a very simple answer to that, and that is love. Love is the very nature of God. Well, what a great story, we have to say. The man's released from his debt. He's free. But then comes the crisis. The man who was surely overjoyed at being released from such a large debt comes across a man who owes him. Who owes him, in comparison, a tiny amount. And yet he demands repayment. The man is threatened. Very life is in danger. He's thrown into prison until he could repay the debt. That's an example of the complete opposite of generosity. No forgiveness is shown to the man. It's as if the first debtor has completely forgotten, ignored, or disregarded what has happened to him. We are a people who forget. We forget God and instead put ourselves in the place of God. We are a people who ignore. We ignore God and instead put ourselves in the place of God. We are a people who disregard. We disregard God and instead put ourselves in the place of God. God forgives. He forgives when we forget, ignore, or disregard him. The debt we owe is great, and yet Jesus has already taken the debt. It's an event of history which cannot be taken away. It's how we choose to respond which is important. The king wanted to settle his debts, his accounts. In the same way, God calls us to settle our account with him. It's when we ask for forgiveness. It is part of our act of worship, which we do weekly when we come to say the confession. And together we receive God's forgiveness. It's also an action we probably need to do day by day, hour by hour. It is the saying sorry. Sorry for my actions, my words, my thoughts. Sorry for the ways in which I have failed. Of course, saying sorry in some senses is easy enough. I don't know whether you remember the 1980s comedy program starring Ronnie Corbett called Sorry. It often seemed as if every other word in the storyline was sorry. Sorry can come out of our mouths before we are even aware of what we are saying or why we're saying it. Forgiveness begins with an awareness of our place in relationship to God. I have to say, I have been known to say to my daughter, "The world does not revolve around you." It applies equally to myself. The world revolves around God. Not in any sense of power, but because it is God's. Therefore, it is to God we need to ask for forgiveness. Now, 30 or 40 years ago, some people might say 5 or 10 years ago in this church, like this, when we came to the confession, most people would have knelt down. literally got on their knees. I know sometimes we do it as a one-off, but in the past, everyone would have knelt. It's a powerful symbol of acknowledging our position before God. God doesn't need us to kneel, but we need to know that it is God who is God and not us. When we acknowledge before God, we are sorry. God forgives and forgets. Psalm 103 says, "As far as the east is from the west," think about that for a moment. "As far as the east is from the west," doesn't really make sense, does it? It's unimaginable. "So far has he removed our transgressions," the things we have done wrong, "from us. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Sometimes we need to be reminded that if we've asked God for forgiveness, then God has forgiven us. The problem arises when we don't forgive ourselves. The other week when we were thinking about healing, we considered how sometimes scars can be left. Our inability to forgive ourselves can be a scar. It's something to bring to God in prayer. Here again, God has forgiven. Well, what a parable. What a story. I could have gone on, but fortunately I'm not. We've heard of God's generosity. We've heard of God's forgiveness. But as I said right at the beginning, we can get lost in stories. And there's a danger we do so in this one. We need to look back to the circumstances surrounding why Jesus even told this story in the first place. Peter asks the question, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive someone who sins against me? Up to 7 times. Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Don't count. Just forgive. Our reading from Colossians is entitled, "Living as those made alive in Christ." As disciples of Jesus, we live alive in Christ. This makes a difference to the way in which we live. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's easy to say, but not always easy to do. Disciples are those who follow the example of Jesus. On the cross, Jesus cried out, "Father, forgive." There may be people who we know we need to forgive. We may need to forgive ourselves. Hurts may have happened a long time ago, or perhaps on the way to church this morning. Perhaps even in church this morning. As we continue our service today, there will be an opportunity to ask God for his forgiveness as we say the confession. Maybe someone in church you need to forgive. As we have the peace. Or perhaps share a cup of coffee at the end of the service. Perhaps that's the opportunity to forgive. Maybe when you get home, you need to make a phone call or send an email. Forgiveness comes from God to us. As Jesus cried out to his father to forgive those who had brought him to the point of death. So God will help us to forgive those who we need to forgive. Let us pray. Lord our God, we thank you that you are a God who forgives. Help us when we need to come to you and ask for your forgiveness, to know that you freely and generously forgive. Help us in our relationships one with another to be a people who forgive and who forget. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, be at work in our lives to forgive those as you have forgiven us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.